Hello, everybody.
Hello. Hello. Are we having
Having a marvelous day so far? In that we've gotten out of bed and that we woke up alive.
Well,
We're all
much
having
better than the
that kind of day,
alternative. Yeah.
please. Yeah. Okay, good. I've been looking to create an ICS file for this meeting, to have it up on the wiki. However, Outlook no longer allows that sort of thing. You can't just generate an ICS file. You can create the meeting as usual, but you can't export the ICS file. You have to invite people, which defeats the purpose, from where I sit. If anybody knows how to make an ICS file, if you could clue a girl in, I'd be so happy. And if you wanted to make one and put it up on the wiki for the second and or fourth Wednesdays of the month, that would be even better. Okay. So before we get started, is there anything that that anybody in specifically wants to look at today?
Hey, Maura. I think that if it's possible, could we maybe look at what is it? We had a user that was saying that they used to be able to mark an item as damaged. And I don't know if that's something that we ever had or if it was something that went away. We're not really sure. But whatever the case is, for an item, if we have some items in the test environment, maybe that could be something I would be interested in looking at.
Okay. And is this in a Eureka environment, or is this just sort of like you moved from
We're not in
random?
Eureka. Yeah, we're not in Eureka yet. We're still in
Okay.
Okapi. But I'm wondering if, in the test environment of Eureka, if that's a thing that exists.
Right. Yeah, there is just for everybody's just to let everybody know for everybody's knowledge, there is a I've put in the link to the snapshot environment, which has Eureka permissions. Or at least I think it does. The Deku admin the Deku admin user gets you in and you get to see a number of things. Interestingly enough, you don't see settings, which is interesting to me. But here we are. So let's this is I'm sharing the users in the snapshot environment. Let's look at the metadata admin. Oh, and we just have roles. That's going to be helpful. Okay. Oh, okay. This appears to have changed languages, either since I logged in or I'm blearier than usual. But we shall see. What can a person do? Okay. Okay, let's see what they do have. Okay, so I have the I'm using Deku Admin right now. I'm going to, well, let's generate a barcode. Item barcode. Golly, I don't even know how this is done. Does anybody know how to create an item? Otherwise, we can just take an item. We'll take this one. Missing withdrawn in process. Okay. Okay. If memory serves, UC's version of Ramzin's does have a mark item damaged, but I'd have to go looking for it. The yeah.
There is on the item record, there's the condition accordion that
Ah.
has damage, item damage status as a field.
Okay.
Yeah, we tried that, and that wasn't giving us the results that we wanted. And so what the user was hoping is that it would be something in the actions drop-down list, not having to go like into the item record itself and fool with the condition. And so, because as far as I can tell, like if you mark an item as missing, it won't affect the condition.
Yeah, so there isn't an item status for damage. As far as I know, that field is the only flag for whether an item is damaged.
Okay, she thought
I
that there
think.
used to be. I haven't been here that long, but she thought that there used to be, and then maybe it disappeared, but I couldn't find any record in the documentation. She also mentioned that she thought there used to be, in that actions drop down list, a way to do on order, like change the item status to on order, because she works in acquisitions. And so she thought that that also used to be an option, but it's not something that she uses a lot. So she wasn't sure, really. And, I don't know. I'm just trying to reach out and find out who knows what.
Yeah, I'm looking at the documentation. I just put the link in the chat. I'm looking at the documentation for item statuses. And it looks like on order cannot be set manually. It's only marked as on order when the order record creates the item record.
Yeah, I saw that, and that's what I gave to her. So I was feeling a little bit at a loss as to what people would have seen before. But yeah, thank you very much. That's what I also saw, and you have confirmed what I saw.
Right. Yeah. I don't think there's ever been a way to set that otherwise. It's a little inconsistent what statuses you can set items to versus they have to be processed in a specific way to get that status. Like lost and paid is another that you can't set manually.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so snapshot is not, I'm going to see if I can create an administrative user. Okay. I'm actually just looking for a way to get into to get into the settings. So let's see if I can do this. These are nice though. This I like that these have been sort of very specifically laid out. And what that means is that we can experiment with some fake users and see like what kind of things we need in order to be able to use Eureka. While I'm looking up user capabilities here, just for giggles, has anybody really like has anybody started looking at the things they need to do? You know, like what has anybody mapped out the capabilities that are necessary for like one position to do their job?
At our system, we're a consortium, and we have permission sets that are specific. I'm sorry, I can't talk. Specific jobs, like cataloging, circulation, and what we call a site coordinator, which is basically everything that can do short of the folio administrator. However, it's voluntary to use that. Plus, we had an earlier revision of our permission sets, more complicated. So some libraries have taken the mentality to add in all the permission sets they can. So some circumstances are really good where we just have, hopefully we'll have just the set role rotate over. We have other people have added in 20 or 30 permission sets. And so we're probably going to be trying to clear those out, or at least make it clear that, you don't need all those permissions on there because you're duplicating different permissions in the sets.
Right.
Let me see if I can share a link for our document. It should be publicly available for our sets. Give me just a
Okay.
moment.
That would be great. And is it okay if we put it like on the wiki, just so that other people might have a sort of starting point?
What do you think, Adrian?
Good question. I don't know why it wouldn't be okay, but maybe we should check with Steve or somebody first.
Okay, let's check on that first.
Okay, but if you want to share it here so we can look at it now, that also would be lovely.
And there
If
you go.
if you're okay with that.
I'm fine sharing within the meeting.
Okay.
And we have asked EBSCO about trying to get a list of all the known roles to make sure things will map correctly. I know it's supposed to translate them, but it just helps know what's in there.
Right. Sort of how much overlap is there, yeah, initially I tried to among the many things that I had tried, I had worked on making sort of a Lego block set up that allowed us to sort of to just take a function and just add it to a person. And then I was like, well, why should I have to remember, why do I have to write down what everybody gets? And I took all of those permission sets that had functions and then I rolled them into roles. And then things got kind of out of hand. But let's see.
Well, in our area, a site coordinator is a representative for the library who deals with the consortial issues as well as the local issues. However, it's basically the super user login is a very small library. It helps if everyone has that. So something you can understand, site coordinator means you just don't have to be a coordinator to use that permission set. There's a bit of overlap we have with the catalog and ERM permission sets and acquisitions, but still seems suitable because some jobs are limited like that. The only really limited one we have is for the circulation student worker. However, the libraries are free to create their own permission sets for unique usages and what they want to do locally. And that does help because we have so many libraries, not everyone has the same needs. And sometimes they have more concerns like making sure that only the top one can add permissions or change permissions, things of that nature.
Nice. Yeah, it's let's see, wait. This is really interesting. I'm not seeing any authorization settings, which we might get blocked. Actually, let's see. Okay. Well, I'm not exactly sure my fake user can. I was going to create a fake user to create, or at least to look at, the authorization sets. This appears to have changed. And I'm interested in that. I'm just going to go and finish.
Well, if this is the snapshot, you could add them all and see if it works.
It's true. It will, after all, be it will be wiped clean, fairly soon. And okay. So the next question is, what is his login? Or what is his password? Oh, right. Okay. So let's try this. His.
If you go to note his username, Greg Admin, and go to apps.
Once again, take it to.
Note his username, Greg Admin, and see if this still works. Go to apps on the top right, settings.
Well, we're not logged in as Greg Admin yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So let's see if this works. I am such an old hand that there was a point when that didn't really work in the test environments. Okay. This was the issue once upon a time. Let me see if they've got something else going on. Okay. Set your password. I did receive the email. Yeah. Okay. Okay. For those of you who are playing along here, I had to the Folio emailed me a link that allowed me to set a new password, or to set a password which would activate the account. That gave me the option to I had to I clicked on a link that they gave me. It did not go anywhere. So I had to copy the link and paste it in the browser. And thus was a beautiful thing born. I think I have been misled. I think, Amelia, do you think that Folio Snapshot is not using Eureka?
Yes, there's a specific Eureka snapshot. Here, let me grab the link.
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go. Let's see if we have the same things here. Ah, authorization rules. Brilliant. Ah, thank you, Amelia. I was looking at that one earlier, and I thought for sure that that one was one where I was given a, you can use this if you dare. Okay, so let's get a look at some users. Okay, is does does is anybody else interested in just doing something hands-on that you can ask about? That you can do yourself and then work with. I'm just creating I'm just going to create a user here. That's good. Okay. And then first time users get an email, allow them to activate the account. Okay, we'll see if that comes in. In the meantime, let's look at the settings. I'm certain we've seen what the what these authorization roles kind of look like. This one is for the name of it is checkout all. And so this presumably is all of the checkout permissions. So here we have, you can view all of these parts. These are the things you can look at. This is kind of how they flatten permission set. Instead of having nested permission sets that can contain all kinds of different things, they're just sort of bringing it out. And we don't have to worry about finding the thing that says, view collection, and then another one that says edit collection. So this user or this permission set, app platform complete, and it has a module, checkout enabled. And then the procedural bits are the things that look most, I think, like our Okapi permissions, circulation checkout by barcode, and patron action session. So these all look pretty ordinary to me. Pardon me. And I'm going to give fake Rob check out all. I'm going to give him check in all. And I'm going to go back and check and see if it will let me log in as Rob, because I have yet to get the email. Oh, that's why. I've had the classic fat finger problem lately. Where the fingers on one hand get ahead of the fingers on the other hand. Here we go. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and say this is your meeting. You don't have to sit here and watch me fumble around if that's the only thing you want to do. Somebody start talking about kind of what they hope to get out of this meeting. Or if you're just working, you can just let me know. If you're just doing stuff, I can stop sharing. You can stop seeing me fumble around like this. And we can just work, and someone can pipe up if they have a problem. Is that what we'd prefer?
Well, if we want to discuss things, is anybody else here loading patron records on your own?
We only do that for community patrons. Our faculty, staff, and students are fed or the nightly feed.
Okay. We've been running a patron load system that we developed in-house because we have 62 libraries. It partly imitates the Sierra files we got, because we migrate from the Sierra system. And that's because a lot of times either the people who created the Sierra patron load and wrong are there at the library, or be a lot of work trying to change it over. So it takes the existing Sierra file, still sent to us in that format, converts it to a format that Folio can use, and loads it from there with the API. Adrian and another one of our staff members named Scott Angel worked on it quite a bit.
Something like that would have been nice to have when we were first implementing, but we're 3 years in now, so we're just relying on our nightly feed set up.
Is anyone
Scott
looking?
At...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, at the Library of Michigan, we create all of our patron records manually, apart from those which were, of course, converted over at implementation. And we're with MSU, so as Aaron said, that was like 3 years ago. But I was curious, do you have any kind of system where you load, where patrons can apply online and there's any kind of automated record creation. We would love to have something like that, but we don't.
I think since some of our libraries have SSO, there's a temporary record creation in that regard, but not like a self-patron registration like you see in other ILSs like Polaris.
Okay.
I think for the most part, they would have stuff to go in and be created by the library. The temporary one that's created through the SSO, which I think is an EBSCO connector that they created for that, is really to allow single sign-on services, but not to allow circulation records. That's the way I understood it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I will add, there was functionality recently added for Library of Congress that was designed for a locate integration to allow users to register accounts through a locate form. But that, it doesn't create the user record directly. It creates a pre-registration record that then needs to be approved in Folio to actually create the user record. But if that gets you halfway there, maybe it would be helpful.
Yeah. Well, we looked at Locate, but it's been a year and a half maybe ago. I don't know. So I should probably look at that again. Thank you, Amelia.
Yeah, and even if you don't use Locate, I'm sure you could do something using whatever API that Locate is using for Folio to build your own integration like that if you wanted.
And a slightly different topic, but a related question. Has anyone seen a problem? I know this isn't the Feed Finance group, but it is related to user management, where if you're trying to, you have a patron return a book, the fine is supposed to be cleared, but it's not actually clear on the record. The book is checked in, but the fine is still there. And I'm pretty sure this might be because the library doing has multiple branches and where it's being checked in at. But has anyone seen a similar issue to that?
So there is some configuration with the fee fine settings about where you set a period when a returned item would have the fee fine automatically closed when the item is returned. Yeah, I think it's under the fee fine policy. In circulation settings, define overdue policies. There's a forgive. Maybe that's the grace period. Oh, maybe I'm misremembering. Give me one sec.
Yeah, the issue only comes up with this one library, and we have to contact EBSCO to clear it, but it seems to be kind of a recurring thing with them, that the book's returned, and then the fine is still on the record, so they're blocked for a thing they returned. And what I'm thinking is happening is that they may be returning it at a branch library, but the book isn't actually home until it gets to the main library. And so there might be some situation there where it's not clearing because it's saying, hey, I'm in transit, therefore I should clear this fine, but still waiting for the actual completion, saying I'm checked in, and that may be upsetting. I'm not too sure, but that's kind of what I'm guessing is happening.
Sometimes at USC, we've had a couple of things where someone either returns or sort of has claimed returned a book. They've gotten a fine on it. And the fine. Oh, look, it's another spam call. There's actually an API endpoint that you have to touch with that item and that patron barcode, and they have to you have to use that endpoint to sort of resynchronize them. And I, if I find it, I will put it in the chat.
Things. This may be what EBSCO is doing on their end, because I know it is kind of like an API change they're making to get it synchronized again.
Right.
And I'm seeing what Amelia just posted. Let me check and see if this matches what they're doing in their loan rules.
I don't think so. Once an item's checked in as in transit, I don't think it being checked in as in transit or being checked in as available at its home service point. I don't think there's any difference on what happens to the loan or the fee fines based on return location.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it must be something in your settings, but couldn't say exactly what.
This may not be it because it's not the lost item processing fee as much as the entire fine that's still there. But yeah, we can check our settings and see what might be different about them. It may also be, again, the workflow of the endpoint, API endpoint, not being hit for whatever reason. We're an ECS library, and this is a multi-branch library inside ECS tenant. So it's kind of complex how they're set up. Mm-hmm. Kind of like those Russian nesting dolls, you know, but with books.
Sort of a Matryoshka doll for... for library data.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay, I have found it. The my predecessor wrote some documentation, and this is on clearing automated patron blocks. Automated patron blocks for conditions such as lost items or total fees should be cleared by the system. Occasionally, they're not for unknown reasons. A job is run nightly to clear any problems. Sometimes resource access staff will report a spurious patron block before the nightly job is run. An individual's incorrect automated patron blocks can be cleared using the following API in the chat.
That, I think, is the issue. Let me check that.
Right.
Okay. I'm getting a 403 forbidden link. Is it possible to do a screenshot?
Well, if you click on it, you're getting to the API. You have to actually. Oh wait, you're forbidden because I gave you our thing. You can't use UChicago Okapi index data.
That's okay. I can understand what I'm looking at from that. That's, we would use our own URL plus the rest of that endpoint to run it. But I didn't know how to do that until just now. Thank you.
Hey, all right. Yeah, so if you click on it, you're not going to get there because you're not permitted to use it. But if you're okay with it, I'm going to go ahead and delete it because that doesn't... it's the sort of thing that it just makes me... it makes me uncomfortable to have one of our tenants out there.
That's okay.
But yeah, so there is a specific endpoint for that. The person who wrote this up said that the two things that you have to include, because she used Postman, and the scope, I'll put that in here, in the body of the JSON, or in the in the body of the postman request, this looks pretty innocuous. So scope user, and then the user ID being the UUID of the person.
That's really, really helpful. Thank you very much.
Well, if you, I've been looking at doing this myself, but I have absolutely no experience with Postman. And so I've been sort of at sea. So if you guys get that working, I would love to know more. You know, I've been noodling around with, you know, doing the same thing in Python. And I've been getting an exciting number of errors.
I've used Postman just enough that I'm willing to attempt this and see what happens. So hopefully I don't break anything, but this is the first time I've seen any way to fix this on my own. So
Right. Perfect. Okay, I'm going to share my screen again. You might have seen that I was setting up a user with circulation permissions, and I used check in all and check out all, and it didn't really give me much. So I gave this this user an authorization role called, you know, circulation staff. And I've gotten, you know, I couldn't look up with just check in and check out. I could not look up a patron. Now that I have staff, I have the same old problem, which is that I have to I have to go looking for I have to go looking for what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, great. I have to go looking for a barcode.
Oh,
to go find one.
In snapshot, the barcode 12 is always in there. I use that for all my testing.
Ah, excellent. Okay. So, so yes, my my fake user, which took, you know, pretty much this entire time to set up with circulation staff permissions. This gives me, I don't know what kind of inventory permissions it gives me. If anybody wants to experiment, I can give you the okay, so the fake user login. I've just put that in the chat as well. So if you want to, if you want to have a look at sort of what's here, you can go ahead and, you know, I can view this, I can cancel, duplicate, move, I can reorder the queue. So this user has what looked to be the full set of requests. And as far as I know, we, yeah, there's we still have all of the information that that a person can see. So is there, you know, in the last couple of minutes here, is there anything here? This is just sort of like a standard circulation staff setup. Is there anything besides looking things up in the inventory, looking up a user, checking requests, checking in and checking out, that a basic circulation staff member should be able to do? Okay. All right. Oh, I didn't check to see if anybody has fees and fines. But I can see fees and fines in the user record. And I can see their loans and requests. For next time, for our next meeting, which would be on the, for God's sake, everything conspires against me. Even the calendar doesn't want to cooperate. Okay. So our next meeting will be on November 12th for Eureka permissions, testing, lab, what have you. For homework, and I'm going to put this in the wiki for next time. I would like us all to have one role that we need our staff to have. You know, one set of permissions that one member of your staff has, and then, you know, or something they need to do if they want to, say, you know, do work in inventory. If someone is working in, you know, primarily with orders and they need limited access to inventory, if, you know, that sort of thing, so that we can get a better sense of how these kind of, how these permissions can map. You know, just we'll have one for each of us, and we'll see, you know, we'll use the lab to see if we can assign permissions to see how well they work.
Sorry, don't mean to interrupt. One thing to check, if you're still using permissions as opposed to roles with Eureka, is on our spreadsheet that we posted. If you look at a tab called All Permissions Output, this is where you have the display name, permission name, and sub-permissions. So if you see an oddball error that says something like missing inventory-storage.instances, this shows where maybe showing up at, and the actual name permission you should be looking for to add into the ones you want to use.
Excellent. Yes. Yes. Okay. So let's keep that in mind, and we'll next time let's each just, you know, sort of bring one permission set. Or one user role that we want to be able to duplicate. And then part of the fun of this is that snapshot environments are they're overwritten on a very frequent basis. And so if we have something sort of ready, then perhaps I can be a little bit quicker when it comes to creating, you know, a few users, and then we can work on having our fake users and trying to see how well they work, and how well we can map or move, you know, our permission sets and roles into capability sets and roles. So anyway, I hope to see you on the 12th, and have a good rest of your day.
See you later.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.